Before there was Washington Regional Medical Center, Northwest Medical Center, Mercy Hospital, or Arkansas Children's Northwest, there was Fayetteville City Hospital. Prior to that, the closest hospitals were in Fort Smith and Joplin, Missouri. The City Hospital and Fayetteville Public Library were established just a few years apart in the early 1900s. And now, one cornerstone of a thriving community will be making room for the other. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek went on a tour of the hospital before demolition got underway this month.
As we stand outside a door at Fayetteville City Hospital, Sam Palmer, the Director of Facilities and Sustainability at the Fayetteville Public Library, removes bolts that had been drilled in to keep people from going inside the abandoned building. When we step inside, it's surprisingly cooler than the temperature outside. It smells musty, like empty and sealed up buildings tend to do. There's debris piled into the empty rooms, and the walls are covered in graffiti.
So the condition you see it in now is after the asbestos abatement. So we had to come in before we could do the demolition. We've had to come in and make it a healthy air quality and the environment. So this is post-asbestos abatement.
That's David Johnson, the library's executive director.
Anywhere that there was asbestos, whether it was in ceiling tiles, sprayed onto the iron beams, whether it was in the floor tiles, that's why you see all this has been scraped up.
Palmer starts our tour in one of the oldest sections of the hospital, called the Riley Wing. It was named after a nurse who helped get the original city hospital off the ground, but more on her later.
And this this roundabout, or where the covered spot was where we pulled in, where we came in, that was where the ambulances would come in and drop people off. The X-ray room was that room right there we just came through back there.
Johnson says, like the asbestos, they've had to remove all the lead from the building. And whatever could be reused, like the furniture and sink fixtures, was sold off.
But they're going to have to do some separating. So the concrete that you see that we're standing on, or anything that can be ground up and turned into fill, that's going to be preserved. Most of the overhead pieces, you'll see like these big steel beams. Uh-huh. Those will be repurposed and sold.
That fill, Johnson says, will be used to create an even surface for the library expansion.
So what part of that means is, as from a community standpoint, we're going to be grinding and crushing that on location. It's going to be loud. Yes. It's going to be a little dusty. But we're going to comply with all the city code and ordinance around noise, air quality, and all of those things. So
our group walks through the central hub of the hospital. There's a courtyard in the middle. It's overgrown now, and most of the windows have been shattered.
That was a rec room. Cafeteria is down on the backside.
Okay.
So this was the original donor wall.
The small name placards are long gone. All that's left is the glue on the bricks. That's what most of the hospital is built out of. Johnson says they're still figuring out what they're going to do with all that brick as the building comes down.
Yeah, we're still deciding from a development standpoint and a foundation whether or not we would maybe want to sell bricks, maybe we would want to repurpose them in some way. We'd also take segments of them and make them available for people to come and haul them off and make patios or whatever they want with them. But you know, they'll have to do the cleaning of the mortar, but we do intend on making some bricks available for the community.
As we sneak a glance into what's left of the cafeteria, Johnson says the library expansion will include its own deli, which will be run by the Brightwater Culinary Institute.
And they're going to come down and have culinary classes. The plan is to work with the Fayetteville Public Schools and offer concurrent credits. So a high school student could come over, take culinary classes, and finish with college credits towards a culinary arts associate's degree.
This is the elevator shaft.
Yo, merciful heavens.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
So they still just...
At this point, we start to make our way back to the door we used to get in.
So there's a morgue here downstairs.
That's where we're headed next. But in the meantime, Johnson tells us about the plans the library has for a small portion of the property that will not be taken up by the expansion.
And we're, you know, entertaining ideas around partnerships, whether it's with the university, whether it's with the Partners for Better Housing, whether it's with anyone who wants to come in. They have a good idea for what could take place on this piece of land and be good neighbors to the library.
Johnson says there will be just less than an acre of land left over along South Street that will be available for development.
My initial reaction is I would be interested in doing something like a 50-year land lease or something where people could make an investment in infrastructure that would last for a long time, but ultimately the property would still be owned by the library.
Just in case, Johnson says the library needs land to accommodate another expansion in the future. A lease could also be a potential source of extra revenue. Sam Palmer puts the bolts back in the door. Then we walk along an old stone wall to get to the bottom floor of the hospital. Jerry Hogan, a local historian who came along on the tour, says the wall is all that's left of the original city hospital that was built in the early 1900s.
Well, my recent research makes me believe that that stone wall was built around the time the hospital was, and around 1910. Yeah, the hospital opened in 1912, but it was actually physically done, I think, in 1910. And that stone wall runs along South School and over onto South Street, I believe, was built by the family with the last name of Moore.
Hogan says the original hospital was a three-story building set back on the hillside.
Well, I'm not sure the style, the architectural style, but it was a beautiful old building. When you see pictures of it, you'll be able to recognize right. It was a very beautiful building.
At the turn of the 19th century, Fayetteville was a bustling community of nearly 5,000 people and home to the state's flagship university. The city needed a hospital, so Hogan says the Stone family stepped in and donated the land for it.
Stephen K. Stone and his wife Amanda were two of the most successful and wealthy and also philanthropic people that ever lived in this town. And the thing I always say about Stephen K. Stone and his family is that without them, we'd have no Fayetteville High School. We would not have had the city hospital, and we wouldn't have Harmon Playfield, just for starters.
Once the hospital was standing, it needed nurses. Rachel McCracken, the operations assistant for building services at the library, who also came on the tour, tells us about Ruth Riley as we wait for Palmer to open another bolted door. Riley is the namesake of the Riley Wing we mentioned earlier.
She was a woman that was a trailblazer, and she got off, was it a coach or a train that she rode into town? They picked her up, and they were expecting a woman who was a school marm, and then all of a sudden this young, vibrant woman in black hair gets off, and they didn't think it was her at first.
McCracken, who's been doing research about City Hospital before it's torn down, says Riley trained women who wanted to be nurses and eventually became the hospital's first administrator.
I think that one of the most interesting things that really touched me is the fact that not only was Ruth Riley aboard and was such a trailblazer, but also she, in 1918, she hired Mr. James Hoover.
James Hoover was an African-American World War I veteran, and at 6'6", McCracken says he was indispensable to the operations at the original hospital.
And so he was their porter before there were elevators. And so he would physically pick those patients up from the curb, take them in the hospital, carry them up the stairs, down the stairs. And he also was very good at setting bones.
Hoover would go on to work at the hospital for 35 years. Eventually, several expansions swallowed up the original building to make room for the one that's there now. And the hospital transitioned to becoming a geriatric center after Washington County Hospital, the precursor to Washington Regional Medical Center, opened on North Street in 1950. Carol Witter took a job at City Hospital when the facility was operating in its new role.
Well, let's see, I came here to college in 1974. And so the summer between my freshman and sophomore years, I needed a job. And I had experience as a certified nursing assistant or CNA. So I applied for a job at City Hospital. So that was 1975. And then I worked there full times in the summers till 1978 or 79 and, you know, would work weekends during the school year. So that was a big part of my life, you know, in my college years.
Fayetteville City Hospital closed in 2012 following several years of complaints from its residents. But Witter says while she worked there, the hospital was a top-notch geriatric facility.
We would get people in that had horrible, horrible bed sores. And so we did a lot of different treatments for bed sores. And you know, we just really, you know, we always turn the patients every 2 hours.
Witter says the patients she worked with left the biggest impression on her.
There was Mrs. Jones, who was 104 years old, and she was just this little Southern belle, and she was stone deaf, but we had to get, and everything was pink. Her nightgown was pink, her bed linens, her family just kept her up real late. And she just was this Southern belle, and she had to be up at 1 o'clock every day to have her glass of white wine.
And then Witter says there was Mr. Mater.
He had to be up. We had to get him up in his wheelchair, and at precisely 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he had to smoke a big black cigar and have a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Witter says she would keep coming back to the hospital as a volunteer for years, even as she ventured into a teaching career.
And, you know, I still have dreams that I'm on call, a nurse's aide at City Hospital, and I have to come in and do a nurse's aide shift.
And Library Executive Director David Johnson says, even though the hospital will be gone, in a lot of ways, it's going to stay a part of that property forever.
We can take that a step further and say it's going to be a part of the foundation of this library expansion as we take some of those materials and grind them up and turn them into fill for the library expansion space, so that both in spirit and in true physical nature, it's going to be a part of us for a long time.
As the demolition gets underway, Johnson says library staff are working to preserve the hospital's history as its latest chapter comes to a close in the coming year. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzanna Sitek.
The demolition of City Hospital will start inside the building this month. External demolition is set for August. Grading and site improvements will be made through the end of this year, and construction of the library expansion is scheduled to start in the first quarter of 2019, with a completion date set for summer 2020.